You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 18, Fun from Fan Days. Hello, everyone. I'm Lando Calrissian, and I'm the administrator of this facility. No, I'm not. No, I'm Riley, and with me I have our co-host and my dear sister, Bethany.
Hello, hello, and welcome.
Welcome back to the Star Wars Report, the Star Wars podcast that reports on Star Wars news. That's our podcast.
Exactly.
Was that impressive enough? I don't know. I don't know if I sold us well enough there. But yeah, we talk about Star Wars and we have an awesome time doing it, especially with our third host, Mr. Mark Herleman. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, hey, everybody. How's it going? Glad I'm back still in my bedroom, but what the hey?
Yeah, exactly. I know you've had a pretty interesting week and weekend. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. What was something to do with zombies and the undead? I saw some pictures of this on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. We got this old historical hotel here where I live, and our Cub Scout pack is putting on a haunted house and doing the undead inn. It's all zombie-themed. So I've been down there pretty much in all my free time doing as much as I can to get the thing ready. And the other day, I kicked up so much dust. I mean, we're talking, this place hasn't been used, this room that we're using, in a good 10 years or so. And there's just mounds of stuff. We got it all out. But man, I got some stuff in my lungs that is just killing me. Sent my allergies over the top.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad you powered through to make it for this episode, because
he's turning into a zombie.
We've got to get through the podcast before he turns. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an epic show, a show of epic proportions. Why? Because
it's epic.
Well, there's that. And there's also a plethora of interviews coming up from Fan Days. And Bethany and I were going to talk a little bit.
Two words.
I know, I'm just using the
$10
words.
It's an epic plethora.
Yes, exactly.
Of a show.
That should be the subtitle of our show on iTunes. yeah, we're going to be talking to, well, not live, but you're going to be hearing the interviews of Catherine Tabor, Aaron Alston. Let's see, who else do we have? I mean, I there's so many I forget them all. All right, Matthew Wood and David Acord, of course, sound engineers from The Clone Wars. Meredith Salinger, voice of Barriss Offee. J.C. Reifenberg, director of Hughes the Force. Steve Sansweet, former head of fan relations for Lucasfilm and current Star Wars collecting enthusiast. And, of course, the great, the one, the only, Aaron Alston. I'm telling you, this is a packed show. And not only that, before we even get into any of that, we're going to talk about something that's even more awesome, and that is a big announcement, guys. We needed a drum roll.
Correct. Announcement!
Can I go ahead and spill it again? I just like spilling announcements.
We are partnering with Middle Earth Network Radio to do a weekly live show on their online radio station. Bethany and I are absolutely thrilled. I think, Mark, are you with us on this, or are you just leaving? Are you tired? I'm done.
I'm awesome. let's do this. Let's get in the ship and launch.
I know. The Star Wars Report is going weekly. I can't believe I'm actually saying that out loud, but we're going to be doing a weekly podcast covering the latest Star Wars news, the latest stuff in the fan community, interviews, basically everything you've come to love about the Star Wars Report in a weekly show. Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, starting next Thursday. I should have a calendar up for that. Next Thursday, which is the 20th of October. Mark your calendars. 8 p.m. Eastern, the 20th of October on Middle Earth Network Radio. You can go, let's see, what is the URL? MimiRadio.net.
I
believe so.
I'm not sure if that's the URL.
Don't listen to me, because I don't know what I'm talking about. but I'm sure Bethany can pull that up while we continue talking about this, because this is going to be awesome.
Well,
I'm telling you.
Tell them what will happen in the future.
Yeah, and that's not even the beginning of it. We're starting with the radio, but we'll be having a live broadcast page with video where you'll be able to actually see our Star Wars Report studio right here.
Not to begin with yet. It will take some integration, and we hope to get some better equipment. So.
Yeah, definitely. So we're working through it. So there's a lot more to come, but we are going to have that live podcast again starting next Thursday. We're recording on Thursday here, and we're actually doing it live on Ustream. We got a couple people in the chat, just kind of impromptu a little bit, but this is nothing compared to what we are planning in terms of the podcast. So,
okay, I put the link to it in the chat.
There we go. Radio.mymiddleearth.net. That's where you can listen to the 24/7 sci-fi and fantasy podcast / music / game shows. They have a ton of awesome content there besides Star Wars. So we'll be kind of the flagship Star Wars news show there as well. So we're one of the early adopters, but Middle Earth Network Radio is going to be having a lot of sci-fi and fantasy shows throughout the week. So I encourage our listeners to please go check them out. Again, that's radio.mymiddleearth.net. And so, again, obviously, kind of, you can probably tell it's a little bit Tolkien-themed, but they're also welcoming on board Harry Potter fans, Narnia fans, and, of course, Star Wars fans. So let's show up in force and make this an event. Again, mark your calendars, 20th of October. It's going to be awesome. Mark, before we jump into our interviews, I would love to hear from you. What do you think of this?
Okay.
Are you excited about this? I know we haven't been able to talk to you as much as I'd like to about it, but I thought I'd just put you on spot on the air. Because
well,
I can
know,
do
it's
that.
A great opportunity to bring all the new exciting news to everybody. I mean, you know, I got my comics, you know, like I do any Wednesday, because that's the comic day. And we just saw the end of The Lost Sons, part 5 of 5. Great little comic. You know, there's a little interesting tidbit there about Sean and his mom and how she doesn't actually know who he is. That's revealed there. That's a little tiny, mild spoiler for you. I do my spoiler warnings in reverse sometimes, especially when I'm on flu medication. Now, with Revelations, though, I will say this. I tweeted that this comic series is hitting its stride, and I mean that 100%. The cover is just awesome. It's got Star Destroyer and doing all this cool stuff. You know, you could probably hear me talking about this on EUcast when their episode comes up. But the story going on here is just, I mean, go back, get the first two arcs, and then jump on this with the singles. It is at a point where you're like, whoa. But speaking of whoa, we've got new comic reveals for series. Oh, what is the name of one? Is Dawn of the Jedi, which is going to be the Jedi before you are a Jedi. I mean, we're going to examine what it means to be a Jedi, and that's coming with Ostrander and Derizma. They're bringing that to us. That was just announced. I don't have my show notes, so I don't have the right links. There's another comic series. Oh, KOTOR War.
KOTOR War.
John Jackson Miller is bringing back Zane Carrick. He's going to get drafted into the war. The Mandalorians are invading. So we've got that to enjoy as well. There's a whole new creative team, I believe, that's behind that. Plus, we've got the Jedi Path. The alternate version is the Sith book, and I believe it's going to look like a hologram. That all came out today. I haven't even had a chance to read over all the cool articles that popped up this morning when I was looking on Twitter and stuff. It's like, oh, ooh, ee, ha, ooh, Geek Evan.
I know. It's awesome for the EU fans. A lot of cool stuff coming from that. Glad to hear from your perspective there, Mark, because it's definitely some stuff I'm interested in. KOTOR War definitely jumped out to me as an exciting event. Well, before we go any further, I guess we'll just go ahead and jump straight into some of the Fan Days interviews, starting with the lovely, the talented Catherine Tabor, a.k.a. Padme Amidala from the Clone Wars. All right, we're here at Fan Days talking to Catherine Tabor. Yes. Welcome to the Star Wars Report.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Are you having a good time here so far?
I'm having a great time here, except for the humidity.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. I'm Riley. This is my sister, Bethany. And it's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's great to meet you guys, too.
One thing, you've been involved with Star Wars before your role as Padme in the Clone Wars, and that was in the Knights of the Old Republic video games. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
That was my first job ever.
Oh, really?
And so it was really exciting because I was a big Star Wars fan already, and my agent didn't tell me that it was a really big part. I thought it was just a little tiny part. And then I ended up getting it, and she said as I was going to work the job, don't tell him it's your first job. So
it's a secret, yes.
But then it ended up working out great, and the director, Dara O'Farrell, was very happy, so we laugh about it now. But
yeah,
I think it was my love of Star Wars that helped me to get that job.
Were you into Star Wars before you got a job working in it?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, big time.
What was the story there? Had you heard of the Old Republic? Was it a new thing at the time?
I didn't know what it was going to be about. I just knew it was Star Wars. So, and then I got to see the drawing of the character, so I knew she was a Twi'lek. But other than that, I didn't know anything about it.
Cool. Well, what got you into Star Wars? What made you like Star Wars originally?
I don't remember liking it so much as a kid growing up. I was definitely like a girly girl, and I kind of remember it a little bit. But at some point, there was a boyfriend that I had who really liked it, and so I kind of got influenced in that way. And I think that's why I love the old movies and the new movies sort of equally, which worked out really well than to do Clone Wars, which is in between them all. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, speaking of Clone Wars, your role as Padme, when you approach her, how much do you base that off of Natalie Portman's performance?
I don't really base it tremendously off of her performance.
Okay.
I certainly base it off of what you see in the movies. But it's sort of, I liken it, you know, when you're an actor, you play roles that other people have played before. Mm-hmm. If you play Ophelia from Shakespeare, somebody else has played it. So you play the character. So I think what Natalie did was the character of Padme as created by George. And I just try to stay true to that. But we have so much that we have to fill in that's not out there that you can't base it all on what's in the movies because we're doing so much more.
Mm-hmm. Do you have something that you like about Padme Amidala, something you can identify with that makes you like her as a character?
It's funny that anyone that knows me says that I am Padme. They say that about James Arnold Taylor, that he is Obi-Wan, that we're just very similar to the characters. My favorite thing about Padme is that she's a lady and she's elegant and, you know, she can speak to people diplomatically, but when it comes time that you need to fight for something, she's ready to pick up a blaster and get in there and fight, which I love. So people who think she's a pacifist and never wants to fight, I'm like, that's Satine. Padme knows that there are things worth fighting for in this world. And when you have to, she'll be right there by your side.
She's definitely a fighter, and especially in some of the recent episodes of the Clone Wars, the underwater episodes, she's often the crux's intention of an episode, especially because of Anakin's not just attraction, but his almost possession of her. At least that's kind of the ultimatum of what happens. How much do you keep that, the what happens in Revenge of the Sith, in mind, or do you try to forget about that when you're playing Padme?
It's really hard to forget about it.
Yeah.
So you try not to let it totally influence you. But one thing about Padme is that her actions, unlike most of the other characters, they really don't change. She stays true to who she is through the entire saga. So I think that the decisions that Padme makes in the beginning are the decisions she would make in the end, too. She's got a lot of integrity and stays true to who she is. I thought it was interesting in this last episode where, you know, she had to decide to trade Grievous for Anakin, that people were like, well, of course she's going to trade him because she loves Anakin. But I think that she's so concerned with doing what's right. Mm-hmm. It would have been harder for her to not immediately just go, yes, trade him, than if it had been Obi-Wan or someone else, because she wanted to make sure she was doing it for the right reasons and not for personal reasons.
Yeah.
So I think it was actually like she actually thought about it more than she normally would have because it was Anakin.
Yeah, and actually, that's one thing I really like about Padme's character. For instance, in Attack of the Clones, when Anakin wants to go rescue Padme instead of fight Count Dooku, and Obi-Wan says, well, what would she do, speaking of Padme, because Padme would do the right thing. So,
She always does the right thing, as she believes it.
Yeah. Well, what do you like about voice acting? What's sort of good and bad about it, and what got you into voice acting?
I started just as a regular actor for on-camera stuff. I didn't even know what voice acting was. And to me, it's all sort of the same. The whole idea of acting in voice or live action isn't really different. It's just really what your character is. And you have a little bit of a different set of tools. So in voice acting, you can't use your face. You can't use the little teardrop coming down your eye. So you have to really create the character just with your voice, which is a lot of fun and it's a challenge. A lot of people say they like it because they can come to work in their pajamas. But I don't do that, so I can't say that.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. But you have been in live action acting as well. I know one film that I've seen you in was with alongside Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere on the set of a film like that versus being in a voice recording session at the Clone Wars?
What's funny is on a film like that is that you actually spend so much time in your trailer not doing anything and waiting for them to set up the shots and set up the lighting, and you have, you know, people standing in while you're just sitting in your trailer waiting for them to call you, and then you come in and you do your stuff. So for a movie like that where, you know, you have a couple of lines, you still work for like a month. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Clone Wars, we'll do an entire episode in 4 hours. And yeah. then all of the other wonderful people who do all the artwork and all that stuff, then they do their job. So working in voice and something like Clone Wars is immediate and it's fun and it's like yeah. almost like doing a play. So in that way, there's more energy to it almost. But being in a live action movie is great too. I mean, I just feel lucky to be an actor. You know, it's yeah. kind of fun to get to play for a living.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because seeing some of the behind the scenes footage when you guys are in the recording studios, you do get pretty animated.
Yeah. I'm surprised we finish sometimes. Like, because usually we're laughing so hard and we've got goofballs like Dee Bradley Baker and Phil Lamar who are just hysterical and making us all laugh. I can't even believe we get through the session sometimes.
Okay, yeah. Well, if you could create a character of your own to voice, what sort of a character do you think you would make?
I think she would be really similar to Padme. On a personal level, I really would love to play Jaina Solo someday because I've played Leia and I've played Padme, and it would be really fun to sort of create that trilogy of my own.
Yeah.
So that would be really great, would be able to play her and to sort of be the first to bring her to life in a, maybe even like a live action thing would be fun, and to start from the ground up there. So that would be like, you know, I like a female character who's not afraid to be a girl, but also not afraid to be tough when it's necessary.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Catherine, thank you so much
thank
for taking a few minutes.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. This is Catherine Tabor, and I play Padme Amidala, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
We're talking with Matthew Wood here on the Star Wars Report. Matthew, I'm Riley.
Hey, Riley.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, and this is my sister, Bethany.
Hello. We just shook hands for the listening audience.
Yes. Oh, there you go. All right. Letting them in. And we're also talking to David Acord. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Tell us about yourselves. What do you guys do?
Matt and I are part of the sound crew that mixes and cuts and designs the Star Wars, the Clone Wars animated TV series, among other things. That's our current project. Yeah.
And you do it very well. Clone Wars is certainly something I enjoy watching every week. And the sound design is really uniquely Star Wars. And when it comes to when you're mixing the sound for the Clone Wars television series, what is it that you look for when you're mixing it together in terms of the process? How does that usually go?
Well, you know, it depends on the episode, because each episode is, if you've seen the show, each arc is so different.
Yeah.
We have lighthearted comedic arcs. We have like the dark Sith-oriented arcs. We've got like the action-packed clone-centric arcs. So depends on what the story is, we'll kind of determine the tone, let's say, of the soundtrack. And the same goes for the music, which Kevin Kiner composes. It's sound effects is in a way done the same way that music is, and it reflects the tone of the story.
Okay, cool. Now, I've heard you guys on the Forcecast before. I've heard Jimmy Mack talk to you guys, and I have to ask, Matthew, when you did a lot of the sound for the Star Wars Blu-rays, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we remastered those.
What's the story there? How did that process go down?
Well, it was just, you know, we were going to release it on a high definition format, so we made sure we had the highest quality possible masters, and we wanted to, you know, have our sound match the visual quality, and so we went through and remastered those the episodes 4, 5, and 6, and then took the highest quality masters we could find from episodes 1, 2, and 3, and put that together.
Now it's in 6.1 surround. Now what's the difference between that and what we would have seen when we saw it on the DVDs, for instance?
Well, the DVDs were a 5.1 format, and they were compressed with a technical sort of way process to get the AC3 file to fit on the disc, so it's compromised acoustically. But what you hear in the Blu-ray is actually a discrete 6.1 mix, and it's uncompressed, and it's basically a file copy of what we have in our archives going right to the disc.
Well, I've always wondered, how do you, as people who do sound design and sound effects, work with musicians or with a composer and mixing the sound with the music versus
okay.
sound effects, etc.?
That's a really tough one. That's sort of the age-old mixing battles between effects and music and what gets favored? I mean, is it that you get a big battle scene, do you want to hear all the tanks and the rockets and all that stuff, or do you want to hear like a big score? And all that really kind of comes down to what the director wants to hear in that moment. Generally speaking, if there's score, the score gets favored over effects for the most part, in most circumstances. It's my experience anyway. Yeah.
Cool. Now, how did you guys first begin working with Lucasfilm and with the Star Wars property with sound?
I started there in 1990 when I was 17, and I started as a video games tester.
Okay.
And then Lucasfilm had a division that was developing this thing called Soundroid, which was a nonlinear audio editor for film, and I got to move out of my video game testing position into testing that software. And then that technology was used on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and then I started working on Lucasfilm projects after that. So
wow.
That was my
story.
That's
just kind of a cool gig there. Yeah,
yeah, it was fun.
I was a production sound guy for many years, which is where you work on set and then record the actors with the boom mic and that sort of thing. And then I got into post in 2000, I guess, when Matt hired me on at Skywalker Sound to work on episode 2.
So when did sound production actually start for the Clone Wars? How early in the process are you guys usually working?
Post-production?
About a
year out?
A year out from when they record the initial voices. We've been working on the show since 2005, right? Sorry, 2005.
Matt, what do you enjoy about sound design, working with sound?
Well, working with sound, I think it's just sound is something that's almost subconscious to the viewer. So I like the fact that we're, you know, 50% of your experience in the theater is, you know, sound and visual. And so we're taking up half that. And then it's something that if it's done really well, it's almost subconscious that you enjoyed it. I don't know. There's something kind of weirdly philosophical about that.
Yeah. David, what about you?
What do I like about sound?
Yeah.
I guess unlike other parts of movie making, like visual effects or that sort of thing, there's no... if you see an airplane on screen, you know what an airplane is supposed to look like, and so the artist has to design an airplane, has it look like an airplane. But what we do, we can kind of make it sound like an airplane plus something else. Or it could sound like anything you want to sound, and the audience can still buy it, you know what I mean?
Cool. Well, thank you.
Hi, this is Matthew Wood. I play the voice of General Grievous in Star Wars The Clone Wars, and I'm here at Fan Days, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
We're standing here with Meredith Salinger, the voice of Barriss Offee.
Yes.
And Meredith, I'm Riley. This is my sister, Bethany.
Hi, guys.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure.
It was very refreshing just to go right into the Clone Wars to see a very different take on Padawan that we hadn't seen for a while. Barriss is very different than your counterpart, Ahsoka. So I'd love to ask you
Barriss
how that
is very different than Ahsoka, but we both have different masters. So Anakin is very different than Luminara.
This is true.
So if Luminara were hers, she'd have to behave a little better.
yeah. Now, when did you first... find out about the Clone Wars? Were you aware of it before you were voicing?
Well, of course I was aware of it before I voiced it, only because my character doesn't start until season 2, but I'm a big Star Wars fan, so
oh, cool.
When the film came out, the Clone Wars film, and I saw ads for the film, I was excited about it, especially because the animation for it was... I'm also a big animation fan in general, not just Star Wars. And I was just so overwhelmed by how different the animation was and the angularity of their faces. And at first I was like, I couldn't decide if I loved it at first or was like, that's really weird. But then once I got used to it, now I think it's the most incredible animation on TV.
Yeah.
But I also think it's gotten so much better as the years have gone on. I think this season is so beautiful. Yeah. Like that underwater episode recently was so gorgeous.
I really enjoyed that episode. So you said you're a Star Wars fan. How did you come to know Star Wars and enjoy it, become a fan of it?
Well, I saw the very first Star Wars movie. I think it came out in 1977. I was a little girl, And I remember standing in line to see that movie with my dad. And it was sort of the first time I ever saw anyone standing in line for a movie. And when I say in line, like the line wrapped around the entire block.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And it was the first time there were all those amazing special effects. And the characters were so incredible. And that I'm a big Muppets fan also. Mm-hmm. So the cantina scene in the first movie with all the different aliens, some of them were very Muppet-like, and it was incredible. I fell in love with the movie right then. And of course, Harrison Ford was a huge influence for me to like the movie.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's cool. It's interesting to see how some of the fans of the films have transitioned to the Clone Wars, and then there are Clone Wars fans who've never even seen the films.
I guess so.
Some
there's a lot of young
now,
kids
yeah.
who've never seen the original. Right. Well, they're very different. I mean, they're drastically different.
Yeah,
so,
it's,
you know,
there are connections,
there was no
but
Darth Vader back, you know, Clone Wars doesn't have Darth Vader yet, so.
Exactly, yeah. It's,
not yet.
It's a lot of the same thematic material, but in a very different medium.
Yeah.
I'd love to ask you about your recording sessions and what it's like in the studio when you're voicing Barriss and other characters for the Clone Wars.
Well, it's fantastic because all the actors are together in the recording booth. So we all sort of line up in a semicircle. We're all right next to each other, and we see Dave Filoni, the director, through the control booth window, and it's like doing a play. You're standing with the other actors, and you have your script right in front of you, and you're reacting and acting with everyone, and it's a great experience. And the fun thing too sometimes is if one of the actors is not present, like let's say Yoda's in the scene but Tom Kane isn't presently there to voice him, Dave will have one of the other actors do the voice for him so that the flow of the scene stays. So it's always fun to see different actors playing roles that they don't usually play, and they kind of joke around and, and pretend to try to be that character. But it's fun to try out different characters because sometimes when you're doing someone else who you're not hired to be, it's fun to voice them.
Yeah, that does sound fun. I was wondering, how did you get into voice acting?
Well, I've been acting on camera since I was 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And a friend of mine was a voiceover actress, but she did a lot of commercials, and she has a very sexy voice, very raspy voice. And she said to me one day, she's like, oh, you should do voice acting too. And I said, oh, but I sound like a little girl. I don't have a sexy, raspy, deep voice. And she says, oh, no, there's cartoons.
Yeah.
So I think around 2008 or 2009 I started doing it, and I've done lots of cute little cartoon people.
Yeah, and we've seen sometimes in some of the behind the scenes on the Clone Wars DVDs and such how some goofy stuff sometimes happens in the recording
and
studios.
And they keep it in.
And then they'll sometimes use it, and sometimes they'll have some pretty amusing blooper reels as well.
Right.
Do you have any funny insights or stories into a recording studio situation and what that's like?
I think Ashley's the only one. I think Ashley has this really funny laugh, or is it a sneeze? Anyway, she does this one thing. I can't remember what it is now because we haven't done it in a while. But Dave tries to keep the little mistakes, and he keeps threatening us that he's going to use them for some sort of blooper
reel. Oh, no.
So I haven't done anything yet. As long as I'm not cursing, that's all. I'm just happy I don't let out a curse in the
There you go. No, that sounds like a lot of fun. And we're definitely big Clone Wars fans and look forward to hopefully seeing Barriss Offee return. But I'd love to ask, I know we don't want to get you in any trouble, but do you think you'll continue to do voices in the Clone Wars?
There are different voices of different characters coming up in this season. And I'm not allowed to say the name of this one little girl yet because you haven't met her.
Yeah.
And I know Barriss is coming up in the future, but I'm not allowed to say when.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a few characters that I'll be doing some Clone Wars, not necessarily Barriss. I do at least 5 voices right now, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But do you have a favorite character that you've voiced?
A favorite character that I voice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I love doing Barriss because she has an English accent. And so for me, doing accents is the most fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But of the Clone Wars characters, Cad Bane is, I don't voice him, obviously, Corey Burton does, but he's my favorite character because he's just so amazing looking. He looks like Indiana Jones. He's so fantastic looking.
We got to get Corey out to some of these events. That would be awesome because he's also very talented.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun to listen to you guys, both in your performances in the show and just to see you guys interact with the fans at these events. It's really awesome that you guys take some time. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was really cool.
We got some people in line here, so we'll let you get back to it.
This is Meredith Salinger on the Star Wars Report talking about the loyal Padawan Barriss Offee.
Wow. All right. Man. Catherine Tabor, Matthew Wood, David Acord, and Meredith Salinger all in under 20 minutes. I'm telling you, man. It was awesome to talk. We didn't interview them all at the con that way, but just for clarification. And I'll tell you what, the one that jumped out to me of all the interviews, the one thing that really jumped out to me was Catherine Tabor wanting to voice or play in some fashion Jaina Solo. I'm telling you, man.
That would be so cool. That
brought a smile to my face. I'm figuring if she knows who Jaina Solo is, that's pretty epic. She needs to talk She needs to talk to Dave Filoni.
Whoa, Jaina Solo?
Jaina Solo, yeah. And I think that brings up something that would be cool is I would love to see screen representations of a lot of the classic EU characters.
Me too.
It's a lot of fun to talk to Matthew Wood and David Acord as well because of talking to the guys who actually mixed all the audio, yes, including the Krayt Dragon scream and the no. They mixed all the audio for the Blu-ray release.
You know, we should have asked them both to scream no into the microphone and have the whole convention floor turn around and stare at us.
There were actually these little pins that a dealer was selling that said, just say no to revisionism. And whether or not you agree with that, I do think it was kind of funny. So some people were wearing those pins. That was funny.
Yes. One thing Nancy in the chat mentioned, she said she liked hearing the cantina theme in the background. Someone else said it sounded like we were in the cantina interviewing people. Throughout Fan Days, almost the whole time, they were playing Star Wars soundtracks over the loudspeakers. So you could just hear Star Wars music in the background all the time. And it really, really added to the atmosphere. I loved it, and everyone I talked to loved it. And it was something that stood out to me about Fan Days that made it enjoyable was just having the Star Wars soundtracks playing
in the
background. Really awesome.
The next interview we have is with aspiring director J.C. Reifenberg, of course, the director and producer and the maker happener of Hughes, the fan film Hughes the Force.
He's not the producer, actually.
Oh, well, one of, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
one,
I,
one of the producers.
We'll find out. We'll find out. Here he is.
Standing here at Fan Days in Dallas, Texas, talking to the director of the Star Wars fan film, Hughes the Force, J.C. Reifenberg.
How goes?
Pleasure to talk to you, J.C.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been chasing you guys all around the floor the last couple
or
of
Or vice
days.
Versa, one way. We
yes.
keep running into each other.
Yeah. A certain point of view.
So give us the lowdown. This is airing on Middle Earth Network Radio, so you've got a lot of fans who aren't familiar with Hughes the Force. So what is Hughes the Force?
Hughes the Force is my way of giving back to Star Wars because Star Wars has given me so much. I'm a filmmaker. I thought it was a great way for me to give back to Star Wars was to make a Star Wars-esque film, something that Star Wars fans would identify with. So what Hughes the Force is a mashup of your favorite Star Wars and your favorite John Hughes movies, kind of wrapped into one homage, similar to like a Fanboys by Kyle Newman. It's two geeky guys who can't get a girlfriend, get invited to a big end-of-the-year high school party, but the jock guy who's hosting the party says they need to bring a hot girl with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like in Weird Science, they take a Slave Leia action figure, hook it up to their old-school computer, and create a real-life woman out of it.
Makes perfect sense. What could go wrong?
Right. What could go wrong? Yeah. Well, they get more than they bargained for because they just want her to get them into the party, but she kind of takes them as her Padawans and teaches them, you know, it's what's inside that counts. You need to be who you are. And once you discover who you are and you're true to yourself, you can achieve anything. You get what you really want, not what you think you want.
Right. Let's get out of Ben Burt's way here. I don't want to disturb the great Ben Burt. So It's a very interesting film. We actually got to see it last night and had a really good time at the screening.
Thank you.
And I think it was really well received. Have you? I know you've had two different screenings of the film. Do you think it's been pretty well received?
Yeah, I mean, everybody who's come up to me really, really liked it. Hopefully people identify with the characters that, you know, you see, at least for a moment, some of yourself in what's on screen. I think it's worked pretty well. I don't think anybody would come up and tell me if they didn't like it right after we just screened the movie. So, you know, we'll see once we get it up online and the internet people who can hide behind their keyboards have a chance.
Yes.
We'll see how it goes then. But to this point, amazing. It's overwhelming how excited I am and how cool it is.
Well, tell us how you came to be a Star Wars fan.
Oh man, that's the million-dollar question. how long's the podcast?
Long as we want.
The first venture into Star Wars, I was like 2.5 years old, and my dad took me to see Return of the Jedi in the movie theater, and I don't really remember the movie, but I remember it being an event, right? It was, my cousins were all there. I remember the theater was packed. It was a 70-millimeter print, I think, that we saw, and the screen was huge, and everybody was going insane. That's what I remember. I don't remember the movie. So that kind of, you know, put it in my veins, and then just going forward from there, I love the action figures. I had the Ewok Village I got in 1984 for Christmas. I have video of me opening it up. And then when I was in third grade, my like best friend and I discovered his older brother's chest of old Star Wars toys. And so we started playing with those and just exploded from there.
Awesome. Well, tell us how you became a John Hughes fan.
John Hughes is a little bit easier. John Hughes is where Shermer, Illinois is actually Northbrook, Illinois. That's where I grew up. So in Ferris Bueller, where he pulls the car off after picking up Sloan, that's where I had gym class. You know, the halls of the Breakfast Club are the halls of my actual high school. So I grew up as a kid in a John Hughes movie in real life.
Cool. So what is the future of Hughes the Force?
Future of Hughes the Force. We're going to be playing at Kamikaze Fest in Los Angeles, November 5th and 6th. And from there, hopefully television. And after television, online. But awesome. It's important to me that it stays free. I want people to see it for free. I don't want to have to charge people for it.
Okay. You've spoken of giving back to like the Star Wars universe and John Hughes. Why did you pick film? Why film?
I'm a filmmaker, so that's why. But the reason I got into film was I was always an athlete. And I could not be an athlete anymore in high school, I just wasn't going to cut it as a professional athlete. I had to figure out what I really wanted to do with my life. And I thought back to what Star Wars had brought to my life and how much joy and how much I even still, you know, I watched a Star Wars movie every day for like 5 years I did. And I was like, wow, if Star Wars can affect people in Japan and China and Germany and the U.S., and they don't even speak the same language, but there's something universal about it, and you can touch millions of people by making a movie. So that's why I got into film.
Okay, cool. Well, what's in the future for you? What would you like to do? Would you keep making films?
Next for me, I think I'm going to take a break. I'm going to rest up for a week or two and then start working on a feature film. Not cool. Star Wars.
Okay.
But something of my own.
Okay. We shall watch his career with great interest.
good one.
Nice, nice.
I had to.
JC, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for all your support all through the weekend and online and everywhere. Hey, this is JC Reifenberg, director of Hughes the Force, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
And we're sitting here at Fan Days talking to Steve Sansweet. Steve, I'm Riley.
Riley, nice to meet you.
Pleasure. And this is my sister, Bethany.
Hi, Bethany.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Now, we wanted to talk to you for a while, and you never really got around to it, because you've certainly been exposed to the Star Wars fan community for a long time.
Yeah, 33 years, yeah.
Yeah. So you've certainly seen the fan community as it's evolved. So that would be my first question. I'd love to hear your take on the Star Wars fan community as it's evolved over the years.
Well, I mean, what's amazing is the Star Wars fan community from the very beginning is what really pushed Star Wars over the top. It was, Fox didn't know how to market the film. Theater owners and operators didn't know, weren't interested in any science fiction movies because they hadn't really been popular for decades. But the fans found out about it. Lucasfilm was smart enough to bring the movie to the fans a year in advance. Now that's something that every company does with genre movies, but really Star Wars and Lucasfilm started it. So the fans knew about it first, and I think one of the things that is important about Star Wars is that the fans have always been tied in. Lucasfilm has always recognized the importance of the fans.
Yeah, definitely. The Star Wars fan community is certainly something really unique in its community. And I've certainly really enjoyed Fan Days. It's really the first convention I've been at where I've actually known a lot of the people here, and it makes a huge difference in the experience.
Yeah, and this is really a very friendly, somewhat laid-back convention. It gives you a chance to talk to a lot of celebrities and other fans, and that's the thing about Star Wars fandom. It really gives us all a sense of community.
Yeah, it's one thing I've really enjoyed about it, so... So do you prefer a large convention like Celebration to a smaller convention like this, or do you like them both for different reasons?
Yeah, no, they each have something different to give to a committed fan. This is really cool because it's a more relaxing kind of environment, although putting together the silent auction took a good gob of hours on Friday and Saturday morning. And Celebration is exciting because there's so many people from all over the world who have gotten together and people that you meet only at every Celebration. So there's a certain excitement to that.
Yeah, definitely. And you were the Lucasfilm's head of fan relations for a while?
Head of fan relations, yeah.
And I remember we were watching the Blu-ray and we saw the Star Warriors documentary. And I remember seeing you as you had to go through the audition tapes of hundreds and hundreds of stormtroopers. What was that like?
Well, it was tough because trying to judge how people might march. And in the very beginning, we couldn't tell them why we wanted the videos because we were holding the announcement for San Diego Comic-Con, but we needed to start getting the videos in. So it was a complicated series of things. Well, why do you want us to... Just don't ask. Just do it.
Don't ask, March.
Yeah. And then having to watch all of those and try to figure out who the best marchers were. Let's see. Some of them were very clear. I said, number the people. Let us know how to figure out who was who. And some of them came in without that, So... Third guy in second row on the right hand.
Yeah.
It was, we got a wonderful, wonderful group of men and women for that.
Yeah, definitely. And the 501st is definitely a kind of sub-community of fandom that's really, really grown to prominence in the past couple of years.
Well, and the 501st sort of led the way, but then we have the Rebel Legion and the Dented Helmet and the Mandalorian Mercs and, and Jedi Council. So many groups have grown up using the model of the 501st, although, probably a little smaller and the 501st gets all of publicity, and they deserve it for everything that they've done worldwide.
Yeah, they're a great organization. It's what they've done for children. And everyone is really amazing. I was wondering, I'm fairly new to being a Star Wars fan, to the community itself. I've liked Star Wars a long time, but I really only got into the community at Celebration 5. You've been in it a long time. How would you say it's different for someone who's been in it on a Lucasfilm side and been in it for a long time than to a new fan who's not really involved in Lucasfilm in any way?
Well... Yeah, I've been in it from the Lucasfilm side, but I was in it for, 15 or 20 years before I joined Lucasfilm. So I got in it as a fan, and I remain a fan. I think for somebody getting into fandom as a newbie, you'll find people with open arms and welcoming you in. And one of the things about Star Wars fans is there are all different aspects. There's some fans who, you know, just love the books and like to dissect them and talk about them. And there are the collectors, and that's broken down into subcategories, just the vintage people, or just, you know, I collect character and the costumers. And there's just so many variations. You'll be welcomed in everywhere.
Definitely. And you're also a well-known collector, and you're known for Rancho Obi-Wan. Tell us a little bit about Rancho Obi-Wan.
Well, I started collecting at the beginning. I still have the initial items that I collected. And, you know, little by little, it started getting bigger and bigger. And then I would go back and try to fill in spots in the collection. And, you know, before I knew it, I had my one-story house in Los Angeles became a two-story house, and then a three-story house, and one storage locker became five. And when I moved up to Northern California to join Lucasfilm, I looked for a property with some space and found an old chicken ranch with barns on it, and basically we turned that into the museum. It's just been nonstop since then.
Well, awesome. As a collector, I'm not a big collector yet, but I've got to ask you. I want to get one item to kind of remember this event. There are two Kotobukiya 12-inch figures. Do I get the Luke in Stormtrooper gear, or do I get the Commander Cody, Episode 3? Good price, $25.
For each? Floor.
Yeah, yeah.
How can you pass them up?
I know. Both. There we go. Steve Sansweet,
it's a
pleasure.
Hard to make a choice, yes.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank
Riley?
You so much.
This is Steve Sansweet. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
All right, we're sitting here with Aaron Alston. Aaron, I'm Riley.
Howdy, Riley.
Pleasure to meet you.
Good
and this is my
you.
Sister, Bethany.
How do you do?
And thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time to
no
talk.
Problem.
We're here at Fan Days 2011. What do you think of the show so far? Are you enjoying it?
I've had a great time. It's been you know, really well attended. The fans have been super enthusiastic, and there's been a good heavy attendance for the panels that Timothy Zahn and I did upstairs.
Yeah,
we're very happy.
So that's been pretty successful. You've done quite a few author panels over the years. What's it like at a convention like this versus something much bigger like Dragon Con?
Well, it's not a question of bigger versus smaller. It's a question of the mix of fans and how many of them are either writers or very interested in how the process of writing works. I would not have known one way or the other at a convention like this what that mix would have been, but we had really good attendance, so I assume it's pretty high. Dragon Con, there are a lot more people showing up, but of course their interests are much more varied. So the proportion of aspiring writers is lower there, but the numbers will be higher, so it kind of balances out.
Oh, okay. That's neat. Well, I was wondering, how did you originally begin writing Star Wars books? What got you into Star Wars books?
Okay, it's a weird story. So, you know, I hope you have enough tape.
Sure, yeah.
In the early 1980s, I was an employee of, eventually the senior editor of, a game company in Austin, Texas called Steve Jackson Games. They published a magazine at the time called Space Gamer, which covered the broad field of science fiction, fantasy, board games, and role-playing games. Among the things we published were pieces of fiction, and a couple of the contributors to Space Gamer were very young writers by the name of Timothy Zahn and Michael E. Stackpole. Mike and I kind of developed a friendship over the years. We had very similar sensibilities. We were very fond of the 1930s hero pulps, characters like Doc Savage and The Shadow, a similar kind of jaundiced view of the world at large. Years later, we both gravitated from game writing, game design into fiction writing, and he received the assignment to do the first four X-Wing novels. There was a period of time when he was asked to do four more and did not have the time to do them because he was working on the hardback I, Jedi and other projects, and he told the publisher that he could do one of them, but not all four. They asked for a list of writers he would recommend who had similar sensibilities, similar styles, that would not be too jarring a change if they took over the series briefly. And I was on the list of people he recommended. The editor of the Star Wars line at the time, Tom Dupre, also thought that my style was compatible with his and decided that I would be the right person for that transition. Now, that's not where the story gets strange. The story becomes strange because Tom... very soon after left for another publishing company He had me penciled in on the schedule, but had not contacted me. Mm-hmm. So I did not know I had the assignment. For months and months and months,
oh, wow.
I had no idea I had the assignment. And finally, the publisher at the time, Bantam, asked my the new editor, Pat Labruto, asked my agent, how's Aaron coming on those Star Wars novels? And my agent said, I don't know. I'll ask. And that's how I found out I was doing Star Wars novels. I was already months behind on the deadline. I had to really scramble to catch up. Fortunately, it worked out all right.
Okay, wow.
Is that a strange enough story for you?
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of work cut out for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
What do you enjoy about writing in the Star Wars universe? I know sometimes it's hard with continuity. There are, over 140 books. And so what's it like writing for Star Wars versus writing other novels?
There's actually not that much difference. I've known other writers for whom it's quite a different experience, and their mm-hmm. originals feel different to them than the Star Wars novels. But for me, it's the same amount of research, the same amount of effort. Mm-hmm. The primary differences are that you don't have to develop quite as many characters and situations. They exist in the predefined universe.
Oh, okay.
But you still have to do the additional work to integrate your story in the existing timelines and original characters with the existing characters in a believable fashion. So the amount of work is the same. It's kind of refreshing to play in somebody else's with somebody else's toys for a while. But once again, when you're done with that, it's just as refreshing to go back to your own. So
yeah.
I can't see that there's a big difference.
Okay. Well, do you have a favorite book that you've written?
I really have two. The first one is Starfighters of Adumar. That was my fourth of the X-Wing series. It was the novel that closed out the X-Wing series. And at the time I was assigned to do it, there were really no expectations. Another novel in the Bantam line had been canceled. They had a space open. They asked me to fill it, and I asked, well, what would you like? They said, whatever you want, basically. And I had two ideas to pitch, one of which would have been a story set early in the marriage of Han and Leia, and one of which would have been the last of the X-Wings. And I decided on the X-Wings, and it was very, very easy to write. I was very familiar with the characters. There were no pressures on me. And so it was a real thrill to just to write it. It was there, and it was very popular with the fans. The second favorite was Betrayal. It was my first Star Wars hardback. It was the first novel in a new series and my first launch of a new series. So
wow.
The expectations were very high. It was an honor to be able to be asked to launch a new series and in hardback. So I was very, very pleased. And the results seemed to please the fans. So
excellent. Now, the most recent Star Wars story that you've been working on is Fate of the Jedi, right? Or have you even finished more recent?
I finished my contribution to Fate of the Jedi
okay.
a while back. That was Conviction, which came out in March. I'm currently working on, about to finish, a novel called Mercy Kill, which
yes.
is a continuation of the Rey Squadron story.
Yes, I've heard, and a lot of fans are very excited about it, because it's been a long wait to hear
yeah,
the continuation
the
of
last,
the story.
The last Rey Squadron novel was in 1999.
Yeah, so it's almost not quite the wait between Return of the Jedi and The Phantom Menace, but almost there, almost
yeah.
there. Now, Fate of the Jedi is almost done. Do you have anything else that you're working on right now, both Star Wars or non-Star Wars?
I'm working on several items that are non-Star Wars related. I just finished a novel, which is a vampire action-adventure comedy.
Oh, yeah?
Called Growing Up Dead. I've done some short story work. My next short story will come out in a collection of military SF called Five By, which will be released at the start of November. I've done other short pieces, and I'm working on various original novels. And
okay.
Of course, hoping that at a certain point I'll have more Star Wars assignments as well.
Excellent. Now that sounds like you're a really busy guy. Where can people go to find out about those projects as they keep coming to fruition?
Well, I have several websites of various sorts that I manage and maintain. The first one is AaronAlston.com. That's
okay.
my homepage. I have a blog at community.AaronAlston.com, mm-hmm. and then I have a sales page at ArcherRat.com where I sell ebooks and we'll sell more and more items as time goes by.
All right, excellent, very successful.
Hi, this is Aaron Alston, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Well, that was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed talking to Aaron. Mark, do you have any questions about that? Because I know that you love reading Star Wars books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, questions. Not too many questions, just general statements. I mean, wow. You know, when he was talking about the RPGer, I always had that feel. I mean, I was saying in the chat here, just going on about, I bet he's an RPGer, because I always had a feeling like him and Stackpole and Zahn, you know, I mean, granted, we now know the real deal, but I always felt like they played together on weekends or something because of how interconnected everything was. And then, you know, as an early fan in the EU, you only had these RPG books for a lot of the background information on things that only the writers seemed to know about until a book came out. And yeah. So, you know, you'd get those things and it was like, whoa, these guys had to be playing these. And it was just, it's interesting to see how it all played out.
Yeah. Now, I have something special for you from Aaron. So I will be holding up here, and it reads...
You may have to jump over to the live video. It reads... To Mark.
Best wishes.
Best wishes. Aaron Alston. It's a book.
Awesome!
It's a book slip for your favorite Aaron Alston book. You have a one picked out right now. Let me see. X-Wing series, Fate of the Jedi.
You know, I would say Iron Fist is. I mean, Solo Command's a great one of his, but Iron Fist is hands down my favorite. Every time I look up, I got this Star Destroyer model on the roof. Every time I look up, I think of it, the scene where Tauntaun Clan dies. I'm just like, there it goes. It's going up above. Tauntaun, you can. I mean, I'm always looking up at it. I just, that book, of all the X-Men books, they're all great, but that one always sticks out. I mean, everything that was going on with the race, I was just. It was like X-Wing Rogue Squadron times two, you know? It was like all the good stuff, plus you had the espionage, that Corvette that they converted. So much good stuff happened in that series. Oh, I can't wait for Mercy Kill.
Now, it was really neat to meet both Steve Sansweet and J.C. Reifenberg as well. Steve was really nice to us, and it was just really cool meeting all of those people.
Yeah, so. a lot of fun to talk to, all kinds of awesome guys. I'm going to do something a little bit unprecedented. We've reached the first hour, hour one of the Star Wars Report. So we're going to cut away to a bit of musical entertainment. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
And I want to say thank you,
just
Aaron
a farm boy with dust in his eyes, a princess from pastures of green. Lonesome rebel, she sent out a call. He picked it up on his machine. Rescued and got away clean. Some rogue with a lopsided grin, a scoundrel and a pirate was he. His partner in crime kept her running on time. Thick was the honor of thieves. 2,000 downtown to leave. Falcon flight with destiny, headlong into the fire. Chasing the dark from the silence, a crazy old man, trained in the art of the age. Gave him the weapon to make his return. The forces of darkness would come to reunite father and son. Falcon flight with destiny. Shot and let go.
Thank you.
everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Report, our Fan Days coverage and interviews galore episode. I'm really excited to be back with you guys here. Once again, this is Riley.
And Bethany.
Bethany, and with us is Mark in hour two. And you're listening to us live on Middle Earth Network Radio. We're live to tape at this point. It's going to be live very soon, so awesomeness. Awesomeness there. Well, we've got two more audio segments to play, and so I'd like to... But before we do, I'd love to talk a little bit more. We just listened to J.C. Reifenberg of Hughes the Force. Now, we actually got to see Hughes the Force at the con there, see the screening there. And it was actually... It was very entertaining. For something that kind of started as a fan project, it really didn't seem to me that used that kind of, you know, cheap fan film aura, if you know what I mean, Mark. A lot of the fan films have this level of acting that's pretty remarkably bad. And that was
although
the
on the other side of things, there are those that have some pretty good.
This
I mean,
is true. There
I
want to
think
ones.
Of Geek Man versus Rodman or something like that.
Yeah,
two kids
yeah.
in the little. Shop doing their YouTube stuff. I mean, I've seen some pretty amazing fan-made stuff.
This is true. There are some good ones as well. So, yeah, not to malign everyone, but Hughes the Force, 30-minute short film, very well done, and with cameos by none other than James Arnold Taylor, voice of Obi-Wan, and Catherine Tabor, of course, who we just interviewed early in this episode. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that was pretty epic proportions right there. The next audio clip I'd like to go ahead and jump straight to is not really a celebrity interview, believe it or not. This is Chris, a.k.a. Hoth Ice Planet Smith, and Matt Krinke. They're the co-hosts of the Sarlacc Pit podcast, and then we've come to know them. They've been on our shows before. We've been on theirs a couple of times as well. So it's really cool to cross paths with other podcasters, and this is actually recorded right before Matt had to head out on Sunday, but I couldn't let them go without grabbing them for a quick interview. So here they are, Chris and Matt.
Yes.
And we can't hear ourselves over the announcement, but I am recording. We are live to tape. Live to tape.
Live to tape.
That phrase never made sense to me, by the way.
I said that yesterday. I don't know if that came out right.
And that live. Voice you're hearing on our podcast is Matthew Krinke, of course, co-host of Frontlines and the Sarlacc Pit.
Yes.
We have the whole Sarlacc Pit crew here.
We do.
Chris?
The whole two of us, yeah.
The whole two of
us.
And Bethany, of course, standing here as well.
Hello, hello.
Standing at Fan Days. And Matt, you're about to leave, and I couldn't let you guys go without actually talking to you on mic. We were kind of trying to do it throughout the weekend. And
yeah, that's okay, though.
It wasn't going to happen.
We finally got it done today. That's
good. Yeah, I don't think either none of us wanted to deal with it last night. As we were just like,
we're tired. We want to go to bed.
Yeah. But it's...
Yes, we're older. We're struggle a little bit.
I'm not feeling exactly like a spring chicken right now either, I'll be honest. But I'm going to check my recorder, make sure things are still working. All right, cool.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, here, Bethany's going to hold that. All right, so Fan Days, have you guys enjoyed it?
We have enjoyed it. We've had, you know, all the interviews have gone really well. We talked to Ashley, Steven, JC, Rourke, standing over here, getting ready to come on. So we've had a great time. My first Fan Days.
Yeah, well, for me, what has been surprising is, like, walking up to Denise Vasquez, who I've talked to on the internet, and she knows who I am. I walk up and I say, hey, I'm Chris. She knew exactly who I was. And it's just, it's really, really different because at Celebration, you didn't go to Celebration last year, but when we went to Celebration, I knew the people that I was with, but I didn't really know anybody else. But this year, I know so many more people.
Yes.
And like with JC, I mean, we come over and talk JC and Rourke and all of these guys. And we got Carl here who came on one of our shows, and we talked him into, by the end of the show, talked him into coming, and this has been his first convention. So
yeah.
It's been just something else.
It makes a huge difference knowing people at the convention. And
yeah,
this is definitely first for me as well for that actually happening, having been to Celebration.
Oh, she's grabbed the mic.
She just ripped
it out of his hand.
So, Matt, how many conventions have you been to, or is this your first?
Just Star Wars related. This is the first, actually. I do WonderCon a lot. First Star Wars one. Yeah, is that crazy or what? So hopefully we can parlay this into C6. Yeah, that's what we're looking
forward to. Yeah. You guys are both planning to come down, right?
We'll be there. I'll be there, definitely. Yeah.
He's going to be there. I'm still working on it. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We'll make it happen.
We're going to work some overtime.
Mark Herleman, our co-host, cannot be here, but we're going to somehow, even if he has to get a sand crawler and just roll for 3 weeks out to Orlando, he's going.
Yes.
Somehow. Wow.
Hello, Mark.
Well, this has been a lot of fun,
yes,
guys.
Yes.
And it's an absolute pleasure to actually
meet you
in person.
Face. Yeah, this is a good time.
First time me and Matt's met. We've never met in person, so this has been really cool.
Yeah.
And to meet his wife and his kids are here.
Yeah, I got my whole clan here. I had to rent a couple of planes to get everybody here, but we made it here. Yeah.
Nice.
We got us all here.
Excellent. Yeah, well, one more question before we go.
Okay.
If you're going to hit a convention, there's of course Dragon Con, San Diego Comic Con, Fan Days, Celebration. I'll actually start off with you, Chris. What do you think is the advantage of something like Fan Days? And if you had to choose, would you prefer a Celebration or Fan Days next year? I know it's kind of up in the air at this point.
I would choose Celebration.
Really? Yeah.
Because it's just bigger. There's going to be a lot more there.
It's a lot of the same people, but bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have, I mean, here they have what, 5 of the Clone Wars cast, but there you'll pretty much have the entire cast.
Yeah.
Except for maybe one or two. This Fan Days is a little more intimate. It's a little easier. If you've never been to a con, it'd be nice to start with Fan Days. Because if you go to Celebration, it's your first convention, you'll be overwhelmed and probably hyperventilate and pass out.
Probably. Poor Mark. Yeah. Mark, I know you're listening to this. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have fun with that. Awesome. Well, let's see. I guess we'll go ahead and wrap things up, Matt.
Yes.
I know you need to leave, but thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah.
Now let's pull.
I'm going to pull in Rourke over here. Here he comes.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Rourke, producer.
Hello.
Of Hughes the Force.
Yes.
How do you feel right now?
Feel great. We've had a good time here at Fan Days. We had a lot of people come by the booth. A lot of people have heard about Hughes the Force on the various podcasts and on the internet and our Facebook page. And we're excited to see the movie. We screened the movie last night here at the end of the convention.
A lot of fun.
People went nuts. They loved it. Heard lots of laughs and cheers throughout the movie at the right points, which was great to see. We got up and did a little Q&A afterwards, and we had some really good questions that we could tell a little bit about how we made the movie and different things.
Awesome.
So how did you come to be involved with Hughes the Force?
Well, that's actually kind of a fun story. The short and sweet version is I went to Celebration 5 last year in Orlando, ended up going by myself, and was just looking to, bouncing around making friends, and I met a lot of really cool people. In different lines and everything, chatting with the people around me. I went to one of the parties there that night, and JC, the director, was standing there in line in front of me for one of the food booths or something. And I made some crack and jumped into his conversation with his friend. And he was there by himself too, but he had one of his college friends come up and visit with him for the night. And we ended up sitting down and having dinner together and talking about things like, oh, I'm a filmmaker in L.A., and I'm going to work on this film this year. And I said, oh, it sounds really cool. I'm a mechanical engineer in Seattle. I know nothing about film at that point, but it sounds really fun. I'd love to hear about the project. And he said, well, you're kind of the demographic I want to like my movie, so let's keep in touch, and I'll give you the script. So a couple months later, JC sends me the script. I went nuts. I gave him back a lot of really good feedback on it and said, I want in. I'd like to, jump in. And I said, I'll pitch in a couple of bucks, help produce the thing, and come down and just tell me whatever you want me to do on set, because that's something I could offer, because I don't know anything about the movie industry or how to make a movie. Well, as we got into it and really ramped up, it turned into a huge production role, and as the third producer on the movie, also with Steve Koisinen, who's also the director of photography. So GC and Steve directed and shot the movie. And I ended up doing most everything else on set and wrangling everybody else. And from the props and costumes to doing the food, doing everything on set, anything needed to be done, and running around and wrangling the extras, the whole gamut of things. And it turned to be an integral part of the team, and I really enjoyed it. Had a great time doing it. We also brought in our artist, Joe Hogan, who I met at Celebration as well. And we were talking about it, and we thought, oh, we're making a movie. We should have a movie poster. And I said, oh, I know this artist. This really cool up-and-coming artist that really is into Star Wars that I met at Celebration. We should see if he'll want to do the poster. Got in touch with Joe, and he did the poster for us. And then we thought, oh, well, if we're going to take this thing to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, we were going to put in the Fan Film Awards this year. And we thought, oh, maybe we should do a little comic book so we have something to hand everybody to look at in line. We were promoting the movie. So we ended up coming up with this idea and did this 22-page prequel comic book that goes with the movie, and it tells the story of the action figure, how the boys get the action figure.
Yeah.
Leading up to the beginning of the movie. So it's a great backstory that came together. We didn't get into the film Fan Film Awards this year. We missed the deadline. We're going to try and put it in next year. But
there you go.
We pulled Joe in too. And that's one of the great things about the Star Wars conventions and the Star Wars fandom is you never know who you're going to meet or what's going to come out of it. Random comment I made to the guy standing in line led to me a year later producing a movie and being here at Fan Days showing my movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we had a great time. Really enjoyed it. And I think it's going to be a big success as it goes forward.
Thank you.
Where can people find more information about Houston Force?
We've got a couple of places right now that you guys can get online and find out what we're doing. HouseTheForce.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook page is just Facebook.com/HouseTheForce. You can follow us on Twitter. I take care of that. It's just at HouseTheForce. We're working on trying to figure out the best way to put this movie up where everyone can see it.
Yeah.
The goal was this is by fans, for fans. We're not going to charge anything for it. We're not selling anything. You know, the comic book and the movie posters and stuff we've done, we've just been handing stuff out.
Yeah.
We're not selling this in any way. And we want everybody to see it and get as many eyes on it as we can. We're going to look and see if we can get it on television somewhere.
Yes.
Talk to some of the networks that we think would be interested in it and see if we can throw it up on TV.
Yeah.
We think it's good enough for that. It holds up.
Yeah.
At the very least, it will eventually be up online somewhere, you know, YouTube or Netflix or somewhere where we can download it or stream it or do something and be able to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, HouseTheForce.com. I'm really looking forward to actually watching it again when it's available to the greater public. But keep an eye on the website. I know you guys will probably be doing some more screenings as well at events like these.
We do have one more screening scheduled already back in Los Angeles the weekend of November 5th and 6th at the Kamikaze Expo.
Yes.
We are going to screen the movie there. That's the only other thing we have scheduled at the moment. But we'll probably do some others. And hopefully we should have it at C6 next year.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see you there.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Rourke.
Real pleasure meeting you.
You too. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, two things. That was an amazing interview, and I had a lot of fun talking to Chris and Matt, and a surprise jump in from Rourke, the producer for Houston the Force. A lot of fun talking to those guys. And Boba Fett's dead.
What?
No!
Okay.
Just 3 seconds ago.
I have no idea what's happening, guys. The computer's not responding very well. Mark, I saw you just posted on our Facebook and Twitter that Boba Fett's dead. Is this real?
Well, this is some news that came out today. This is some news that came out today, and it is continuation of Star Wars Blood Ties, and the next arc will be Boba Fett is dead. And I guess Tom Taylor is already working on issue number 3 of this, so... there's not much out on it yet, but that was came out today, and I just saw the link for it and decided to share with everybody. So kind of interesting little bit of information there. It's a good series, those Blood Ties. It's kind of one – and they had Boba Fett in the first one, so it's kind of cool that they're still following Boba in a sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. So let's see. Boba Fett is dead. Huh. Odd.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy,
or
man.
Or is he? I mean, how many times can you kill a Fett?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Well, man, Fan Days. Well, we've got one more interview, but we'll save that for last. I would just like to briefly talk about the overall experience at Fan Days, which was amazing. We had a grand time, Bethany and I, and Chris and Matt, and I'm. We even said it during the interviews. We really missed you there, Mark, and we were very sorry you weren't able to make it out.
Yeah, it's good though that we had someone there covering the scene. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I saw all these pictures of you guys having fun, and I was like, dude, that is awesome. I just wish I could be there too.
And we're gonna, like I say, the Sandcrawler man. We're going to get you out to these events.
Yeah,
we
talked about it. We're like, we'll have Mark get onto a Sandcrawler about 3-4 months before C6. The Sandcrawler will make its slow, steady way to C6, crashing everything beneath it. It was a funny mental image because the actual Fan Days convention center looked like a sand crawler. I kid you not. We'll be posting
photos on Facebook soon. I know I said that yesterday, but
we'll get to it.
I'll show
we'll
you
get
a picture.
It. Too
it's
many
really
photos.
Cool.
We have what, thousands?
It was like 1,000. We had 1,430 something, I think.
Between two different cameras, so it wasn't all one. But yeah, we do go picture crazy sometimes. It does happen. So yeah, but that was an amazing experience just to meet so many cool people and socialize and go out to dinner with, and it just makes it that much more fun. It makes me that much more excited for Celebration, Mark. And we know we're going to get you there by hook or by crook or by sandcrawler.
Well, and I saw you guys were rubbing some elbows with some other podcast hosts. That's always awesome, too.
Yeah. We met, of course, Joe from Dark Empire. We met and obviously interviewed Chris and Matt. Who else did we run into?
We met Mark Newbold.
Mark Newbold, Jedi News. And, of course, James Burns and Dan Curto from the Force Cast Collectors Cast. And Jay Shepard. I'm trying to remember all the names. I want to get everyone. Jay Shepard and... I knew I would forget some. Jay Shepard and his cohort in the ForceCast Jedi Journals podcast. And then, of course, ForceCast guys themselves, they were out there in Force. We got to meet some of those guys. So really, just a lot of fun networking with different fan sites and fans and podcasters all around. And it's just a lot of fun to actually go to an event.
It was really neat to meet Aaron, actually. Catch up with Aaron Goins.
And the first gathering of the Star Wars Report staff. It was really cool to meet Aaron Goins, who, of course, does a bunch of written content for our website. Of course, author of the 10 EU characters he'd like to see in the Clone Wars, a very popular post. If you haven't, you can go to StarWarsReport.com and check out a lot of his awesome stuff. Wow, good times, man. And if they do one next year, definitely plan on being there. If they do one. It's probably not going to happen, though, because of Celebration being scheduled so close. Well, that's okay with me. You can't get too greedy when it comes to the cons. You can't do them all. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our final interview. And this is actually a video interview courtesy of Chris and Matt and those guys at the Sarlacc Pit. They actually filmed it. So we'll be releasing the video version on our Facebook page. Very soon. But here you have the audio of our interview with the one, the only, the great Captain Tarkin himself, Steven Stanton.
Something like that. All right, here we go. We're sitting here, well, standing here. I start my interview with a lie. It's terrible.
Are we filming this one?
Yes, we are on camera.
There's over there.
Courtesy of the Sarlacc Pit podcast guys.
Yes,
so thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We're talking to the one and the only Captain Tarkin, Steven Stanton.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
Riley, Bethany. Good to see you here.
Yeah. So are you enjoying Fan Day so far?
Absolutely. It's been great. We had an incredible crowd yesterday, Saturday. It was just wonderful. And we did the Clone Wars cast panel, and they had me helping to judge the kids' costume contest. We had some great costumes.
Were you brutalist Tarkin and saying, no, that's unacceptable?
No, I
Imperial
thought there was a lot
standards
of great
are
costumes.
Higher.
The one girl, she was dressed as Crypto, the dog,
really?
The comic book category. And then my mind is phasing here on, the character that Leia dresses up as to rescue Han out of the carbonite.
Boosh, Bausch.
Exactly.
See, people, that's controversial in itself. Yeah.
Bosch, the spark plug. I get it wrong all the time.
Yeah.
So they were like our... And then we had one of the runner-ups was a pre-cyborg Grievous, which is a...
Kind of
a cross between a Tusken Raider and, I don't know, it was a really cool outfit, great.
Nice. Well, if I could jump over to a Clone Wars question.
Yes.
What was it like playing Tarkin? No, you've been asked
that
a bajillion times.
We covered that ground, my boy.
Exactly.
A while back, I think.
Let me ask you this. When did you first hear of Clone Wars? Was it when you auditioned, or was it did you hear about it before?
No, I remember when they did the micro series, when that came out. Is that what we're talking about, like the very beginnings?
Both,
yeah, I remember when the micro series came out, and so I remember that. And then, of course, when it came out again the second time, as the CG animated thing, which I think at the time a lot of fans were thinking it was going to be the live action project, and we're like, oh, it's a CG animated thing. That's interesting. We weren't expecting that, So it, so that, I think that was the first. I try to keep up on anything that I. could possibly get a job on, you know, in the future. So, you know, make sure I read Variety and Hollywood Reporter and all that stuff and the blogs.
Yes. Now, yesterday, you were at the Forcecast booth, but right before you walked up, you actually walked in with an escort of Mandalorian mercenaries. That was really cool to watch.
It was awesome. They were, and they kind of weren't really telling me what was going on. I thought, this is rather kind of rather overkill for a mere interview with Jimmy Mac, but I thought, you know, well, they're trying to keep Tarkin from being, you know, killed or assassinated on his way to, you know, we want you to, how's that line go? We wouldn't want to, you know, get killed on our way to our own funeral, that kind of
thing.
Exactly,
yeah. Yeah.
I think Chekhov said that in Star Trek 4, so a little crossover humor there.
Yeah.
Very little. Anyway.
Okay. Well, you were inducted into the Mandalorian Mercs. Tell us a little about that.
I was. It was great. So the Mercs are, you know, they're here at Fan Days, and they're also a big part of raising money for baby Leia and her parents, Franny and Zeb. So, in fact, they made patches, two different patches that are exclusive to this this convention here, Fan Days, for people that are donating. They're giving out patches.
Let's see if we can get a shot of these. Here we go. Nice. So to unite, to endure.
Yes, PLF, the Princess Leia Foundation. I believe there's a second patch upstairs in their room.
Well, as I can see by the jar here, that you've been very successful.
There's been
tons of people at your booth, both all of yesterday and a big line today too. So it seems like it's been very successful.
It has been. It's been great. I've met a lot of people from my Facebook page. A lot of fans from there have showed up. So it's been nice to meet everybody and to
the Death
to
Star One crowd.
Face. Yes, it's great. I mean, you know, because you're only looking at avatars that are like, you know, an inch by inch, you know, square. You know, it's nice to meet people and do a face of it. It's nice to meet you guys.
Yes,
you
know, I know.
Person,
it's a pleasure,
you know,
to actually.
It's the first time we've seen you on, you know, on video and Skype and all that sort of thing. But it's nice to have you here in the flesh. And,
yeah.
You know,
well, it's awesome. You definitely, I think the way you treat the fan community and the way you've interacted with them, both on your Facebook page and online, really shows when you come to a convention like this and see the crowds around your booth. And it's really obvious that you enjoy being with the fans. And I just wanted to thank you so much for coming out and interacting with us all, too. It's really awesome.
It's my pleasure. The Star Wars fan community is really, it's so much like a family. I mean, it's incredible. Everybody seems to get along, you know, the dark side and the Jedi and everything. So it's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what can we do to help with Death Star 1 or Baby Leia? What would you tell listeners to help with?
Well, I would just say, you know, continue to get the word out, make people aware. You know, that's the biggest thing, because in addition to raising funds, we're always looking for, especially the family, is always looking for somebody that's in the medical community or knows someone in the medical community that might have a clue as to what's going on with their daughter, because they still haven't figured it out. And, you know, they've gone through, I think, you know, anywhere between 40 to 60 different doctors, you know, with different hospitals, and they're still looking to see if they can find an answer. So there may be someone out there that actually knows something, that's run into this before and actually has an answer or can lead them in the right direction. So I would just say, you know, continue to get the word out, make people aware.
Definitely. And and you can also go to their website, which is princessleiadiaries.blogspot.com.
That's right.
With the L-E-A-H.
Yes, exactly.
The different layer. But it says, I always find stories like this very heartwarming. And I remember there's Katie the Star Wars Girl sometime last year. And it's always cool, because those kind of stories of fans outpouring do just kind of pop up every year, and that's always very gratifying.
Right, little Eli, too, you know, remember
him.
And So, it's always great. The Star Wars fan community really turns out to help one another. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, before we go, Rick, get over here. Get over here. He's been off camera. Mr. Rick Fitz is here with you. You've been at your booth all day.
See ya.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to. It's also a pleasure to meet you in person.
I know.
How are you enjoying Fan Day so far?
I'm having a great time. It's people are just been so kind to me, because I'm originally from Star Trek, and Steven and I are trying to bring the universes together for Princess Leia. You know, it's a lot of fun. But I've had a great time. We've been doing lots of signing, taking pictures with people, just having really fun. And it's really great to meet you guys.
Oh, it's really great to meet you.
You know,
too.
We had fun with our last interview, and it's great to see you in person.
Yeah.
You know, very cool.
So would you say that the Star Wars community is pretty welcoming? You've enjoyed meeting all of us and everything?
Oh, very welcoming. I've had the best time. Nobody has made any unkind comments to me or anything. Like, everybody just says they're happy that I'm here. They're surprised I'm here.
Yeah.
And, I'm just really happy to be here. You know, it's a lot of fun. And, like, everybody's been very kind to me. And it's just fun to see everybody in costume walking around having a good time, and it's really a good time.
Yeah, conventions are just always awesome to meet just friends, and that's what the Fan Days has really been about for us, is to actually meet a lot of people that we know online but never really get to talk to in person. But Stephen Stanton, thank you so much.
Riley, very nice to, like I said, very nice to have you here.
Yeah. It's a pleasure, Rick.
Yeah,
pleasure
great to talk see you, Riley. And Anthony.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. There was never a sadder time than having to say all of our goodbyes at the convention to everyone we'd met that weekend and everyone we'd even known online for so long and then finally got to meet face-to-face. What an absolute pleasure. I mean, there's no other way to put it, to meet all of these awesome people and just to get to hang out, talk Star Wars, and just have a good time all around. So, man, good times, good times. Thank you to Catherine Tabor, Matthew Wood, David Acord, Meredith Salinger, J.C. Reifenberg, Steve Sansweet, Aaron Alston, Chris, Hoth Ice Planet, Matt Krinke, of course, Rorik, the producer of Houston Forest, not to forget, and Stephen Stanton.
And Mr. Rick Fitz.
Yes, Mr. Rick Fitz. I knew I would forget one. There's too long of a list. Man. Well, and Mark, thank you so much for hanging out with us on this episode.
And yeah, it was great catching up.
And telling us that Boba Fett died.
Somebody's got to break your hearts every now and then.
Yeah,
you know?
I have no idea what's going on there. We'll have to figure out what on earth this comic is. And I would probably go buy it if it's true. Say it isn't so. So, yeah, good times all around. If you want to contact us, you can email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. And that's a very good way to also embed some audio comments. And also, don't forget, you can find us on the social networks, Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Star Wars Report. And the website, starwarsreport.com, where you can find all the awesome articles and resources where you'll find the show. And that's where you'll find the links to the social media, all that good stuff. All kinds of awesomeness happening at starwarsreport.com. And speaking of awesomeness happening, don't forget, next week, Thursday, the 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern, the Star Wars Report begins our journey with Middle Earth Network Radio, live broadcasting every Thursday at 8 p.m. It's going to be amazing.
What fun. And even when we have spontaneous live shows like this,
like what we're doing now,
people come into the chat, and it's a lot of fun talking to you guys.
I'll tell you what.
Chat's
been going crazy. It's awesome to have all the people in there this evening and interacting with us, especially on a show like this where we've got all kinds of pre-recorded audio. So it's a lot of fun to actually interact with you guys in the chat. That's a lot of fun. And we'll be working out a live chat at Middle Earth Network, and we'll also be doing some live video in the long term. We'll be really just having a great live Star Wars Report experience. That's only just going to make the pre-recorded podcast episodes, once you download them on iTunes or wherever you catch them, just going to make it that much more awesome. So, yes, all kinds of awesomeness coming from the Star Wars Report. You know what, guys? Thank you so much for tuning into this show just about every week as we do it, and now in the future. Every week. I'm so excited. And thank you to the vendor. I didn't want to get to the vendor who, 15 minutes before closing time, sold me, you can hand it to me for the people watching live on the video, the Commander Bly. Nope, no, don't drop it. No, drop it. Don't do it. We got to get out of here. I'm going to break stuff. The Commander Bly Kotobukiya figure. I'm not much of a collector, but I'll tell you what. I saw this, scored it, couldn't do it, couldn't resist. So for the Star Wars Report, I'm Riley.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Mark.
And many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.